Oh my! Look at that fish! What is up? Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your host, Josh Shrinko, coming solo. Chris was supposed to be joining us, but his wife's a little sicky poo today. He is going to be hopping on later. But didn't want to keep the push us off to tomorrow because I felt like this was we announced it, it's alive, so we're pretty freaking pumped. We have some guests coming on. Couple of the Cheegan boys, one or two of them's going to drop by. And I'm not sure who all is coming, but we're going to have some people coming by. We also are going to be giving away, if you guys have been paying attention, I would assume. That's why a lot of people are on this. We have our first ever munchie bait that we are giving away tonight. And I didn't get a lot of chance to kind of talk about, I've hinted at it a couple times, but basically we're releasing 100-ish packs. I think it's going to be somewhere in between 100 and 150 at the Columbus Expo here the weekend after next. And so February 7th through the 9th. So and each pack is going to have a authentication card that's going to be hand signed by whoever poured it. What's up, Kevin? Got a lot of boys in the house tonight. But this is what's going to look like. I brought this so you guys could see it. So it's going to be hand signed and dated by whoever poured it. And then it's going to have a number 1 through 120, how many ever. And we are not going to do that again. So that first drop is going to be somewhat of a limited edition collector's item, you know, whatever. So if you, you know, if you're into kind of collecting stuff, I think that's going to be pretty, pretty cool to have. The bag, we'll talk about all this here in a sec. So I'm going to bring in Andrew real quick because, you know, this has been, I was texting Van Tine before this started and he was, you know, telling me about how cool the bait was and all this stuff. And, you know, my response then was like, it's been a lot of effing work. I guess I can say fucking, but it's been a lot of work. And it's like one of those things you underestimate when you're doing something like this, like how much work it's actually going to be. Like, you know, making a bait is, you know, you think like, oh yeah, you just like pour some Plastisol or whatever in a mold, and you know, designing something from scratch and prototyping and making sure stuff swims right and all this stuff, like it is a lot of work. And I gotta say, boys, we have come up with something that is very unique. And if you get into a process like this and you're just like not quite sure, you start doubting like, man, is there other stuff that looks like this or, you know, all that stuff. And last week at the Tennessee show, East Tennessee show, we took some of the prototypes with us and every single person that stopped by that booth picked it up and was like, what is this? I've never seen anything like it. This is super cool. So I think you guys are going to like it. I'm really, really pumped that we're going to be releasing it in Ohio, even though Indiana is my home state. As far as the cheating goes, Ohio is definitely the second biggest market that we have. So so what I want to do is kind of tell the story of kind of how this bait was made. I'm going to bring on a couple guys here real quick before we do that, kind of talk about the Tennessee show because we had a really good showing there. And then we'll start talking about the bait. So gonna bring on my boy Andrew Reuter. What's up, dude?
What's up, buddy?
Speaking of working, dude, look at him in the office, porn baits during a live, dude. That's commitment right
there.
Not
just during a live. It is my youngest child's birthday right now. And I'm missing it. They're having a party. My whole family's over. You better get your ass over there and finish this round of baits.
Dude, you're using the wrong syringe, man. That's the one I use for my butt.
Well, I figured that as much. I always smell them first, so.
Extra scent in those baits, baby. There's going to be kinds of good scent. What color are you pouring there?
I'm coloring, well, I don't know how to, the IU, IU, AU, yeah. AYU, or Tennessee Shad is some of our locals might want to call it, I guess, but similar. It's going to have a clear, semi-clear body, similar to our Jizzard, and it's going to have the kind of a brownish-greenish back.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a couple, we got some inspiration from a couple JDM baits that had that kind of color scheme, and I think it turned out really good. I actually have one right here, so people could kind of check it out. So we are going to, what's that?
As I'm mixing this color, I was like, man, I'm just going to compare it to the ones that Josh just poured. And as I'm looking around the shop, I think you have all of them with you at home.
No, they're in the bag. They're right there. They're in the back, in the box with the Dunn baits.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't matter now. I've already poured damn near all.
Well, that's one of the cool things about, I feel like, hand poured baits is like the inconsistency. Some of them are going to be a little bit different color. You might get a pack where you're just like, dude, I crushed on it. And then you may never get that back again. So, you know, you just never know. So, but yeah. So, Tennessee show, we had you and I, Dustin, which we're going to bring on Dustin here in a minute. He sadly had some work stuff that he had to attend to and wasn't able to come, but we got a kind of a surprise. When was it? Was it on Friday?
Yeah. Yep.
This dude walked in the show looking homeless, just like looked like he needed a friend.
We felt really sorry for him.
We were like, dude, we have an empty seat in the booth, pull up and just, you know, start talking to people. So what's up, Jeff? Jeff Daly showed up and came in clutch last weekend. So what's up, dude? Oh, we can't hear you, bud. Hang on. You're muted. You need to unmute.
Forgot I muted, so I wasn't talking to myself in the background while I was trying to figure everything out. Sound was, I got three screens. Sound was playing in all of them. What's up, boys?
Not much, dude. So what'd you think of that show? I guess, you know, from an outsider's perspective, you never been to one of these shows with us before. What'd you think of the buzz? What'd you think of the bait? What'd you think of all that stuff?
So I was actually talking to a buddy that was up at the Girard show, and he asked how it was. And I was like, man, it was kind of weird. You know, I've done expos on the hunting side and things like that. So you start paying attention to the flow and what the organization or whoever puts it on does. I was like, man, it was weird. Like Friday, like stayed pretty steady. You know, I got there basically the middle of the day, but then Saturday, the first 4 hours that seemed like 12 hours was just chaos. Like it was, you know, nonstop, and you finally got a break and you're like, hey man, I probably need to drink some water, take a break, like go for a walk. But then it was like weird. And I was like, the only thing I think about is the weather was nice outside. So like people, when that sun got up in the middle of the day, you know, that 1, 2 PM, they're like, I'm going to go outside and do stuff. I'm not going to sit here and talk to a bunch of yahoos about fishing.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I mean, that was my first experience there at Tennessee. It's nice to be at a show where there's just a lot of people, you know, that are about smallmouth and like river fishing, you know, like a lot of those guys are like, oh, dude, I forget that dude's name. He goes, yeah, we'll run our jet boat up and then drag kayaks out so we can get in the shallow water. And I was like, what? Like, we do that duck hunting, you know, but like these dudes are full on taking yaks on the front of their jet boat just to hit some small streams.
Yeah, it was definitely, that's definitely like river smallmouth country out there. I would say that's a good thing. So what do you think about the reception of the bait? You heard Andrew and then eventually you explained this bait like maybe 5,000 times. What did you think of the reception of it?
Mostly people were pissed they couldn't buy it. So there was that. And then, you know, as we get down and as you can see Rudolph in the background, people don't understand, like, hey, man, there's not 1,000 Chinese kids getting 10 cents an hour to pour these. It's like 4 half-assed 50-year-old white men with kids and wives that don't go home pouring them one by one.
Basically, yeah. You can see Andrew scraping them right there, bud. Just scraping, yeah. Scraping all that silicone.
All those chemicals going straight to the sleigh bands, man.
We definitely have no ventilation in there. I don't know quite. Like, the silicone, I don't think puts off fumes, but there's definitely other things that put off fumes that we've been just breathing some cancer right to our lungs. Which,
speaking of, I don't know if you've been seeing this as well. I had that vacuum on earlier, and that engine is like throwing out diesel smoke.
It smokes. The vacuum pump just straight smokes like a chimney.
Oh, man.
I think that thing was made by a Chinese children. I think that's exactly why that's smoking. So,
more brand, man. They make everything.
I'm gonna bring on Chris, because Chris is well, there he is. He's got a sick wife and taking care of the kids, so I don't know how long he can stay. So I wanted to make sure he got on. What's up, dude?
I'm here.
I know, dude.
Mr. Mom in the house.
Yeah.
Andrew back there, dude.
Andrew's got
I can't wait. And this is just a suggestion. I'm waiting for a Cheegan brand tennis shoes to come out. I want to see you guys putting together some tennis shoes. That's what I'm ready for.
The mesh shirt, dude. The mesh crop top. The net crop top.
The mesh crop top that's happening. Fishnet crop top is happening. I know that. I've got it on good authority.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, look at that process back there. I mean,
yeah,
it's a master of his craft.
I think the good thing is, you know, with the three of us really problem solving, I'd say Josh more than anything as of recent, you know, coming together and figuring out how to go from a single mold to clamping four together at a time, because the tediousness of undoing one and then getting all assembled with the mesh in the head and the eye rod. It definitely made things move a lot smoother. So if we can figure out how to do that for the rest of them to have groups of fouring, I think we're going to move pretty quick. I actually got this poured in like 33 minutes. So the top layer.
Yeah. I saw Cameron commented, was cool to see Robert G stop by. Chris, you remember that dude, Ewok, Robert G? He's like the real short dude that was like talking shit to Chris Johnson on the St. Lawrence and ended up like he's on the Elite Series. He's literally like what I would say 4.5 foot tall. He's tiny, dude.
Yeah,
he is tiny.
Super cool dude.
I don't really take note of people's like physical, you know.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty medium sized head.
Let's just put it this way: your hands would dwarf his, dude. You would be like shaking his hand, and you'd feel like a giant, dude, shaking his hand.
That's my normal setup. I am interested to see Andrew. Why don't you? I don't know what you guys have already done or whatever, but I do want you to take your camera over there and give us a close up of the this isn't an automatic
close up.
Yes, dude.
Oh, okay. All right. Uh-huh. Yeah, so here's our Tennessee Shad. This is how we have them rigged up right now. I was talking about
automation.
What's that?
Instead of automation, it's automation.
And if you guys have never messed with silicone, man, this is some sticky, messy stuff. It's really an amazing, you know, material once it's all dried.
Most of the silicone I've put eyes on has at some point or one point or another gotten sticky.
Well, if there's one, we were talking about the manufacturing of this, because obviously, you know, making them in our office like this isn't going to be a viable like scale operation. So, but we're doing it just for the time being. But I was like, you know, we're looking at finding some people to manufacture this, and we've contacted a bunch of different like contract manufacturers to do fishing lures, and everybody's like, I don't work with silicone. And then I had this light bulb go off, and I was like, dude, like, we just need to find dildo manufacturers. They would totally make this for us. Oh
my God. the Achigan brand dildo. Free the Viber. That's what it's
called. Free the Viber.
I did notice now, this is all starting to come together. Josh, as we all know, is a schemer, a plotter, a damn businessman. Last episode that Josh and I did together, we had Bryce Clendenning on, who's the president of the secretary of the Indiana Smallmouth Alliance. And they're talking about putting all kinds of signs up at these access points that say, you know, please, you know, no netting allowed. And they're going to put them in Burmese and, you know, English and maybe some other languages. Now it's making sense. Josh is like, well, my company will sponsor these signs. I think what he's going to do is he's going to be like, we'll take care of the translation. And it's going to be a damn job posting is what it's going to be.
Hell yeah, dude. Free
contact us, baby, for work. And I'm going to one time just swing by the office and he's going to be in there smoking a cigarette with a short sleeve dress shirt on and just lording over like a crew of about 50 minions. That's what's going to be happening.
Yeah, that's the plan, dude. This for sure.
I like that. So Andrew, you've got your molds there. What else, what other gear is required for this operation?
Yeah. So, going down the litany of the 4,000 times this was mentioned at the Tennessee show as I'm holding this bait up. And
well, that's to be fair. That's the clientele that you're going to be dealing with people from Tennessee and the South. You do have to repeat things multiple times. So I'm just kidding.
So Josh has shown these plenty of times. This one actually doesn't have the top mesh in the head, but it's got the side mesh. So when we're putting these molds together, we lay them open. For two of our colors that we're going to be releasing, I'm going to actually have to do like a silicone painting on the mold before we ever put it together and start pouring. So like the koi and the blood sport is what we're going to call them. Those two, the process will actually start when the mold is still open. I'm going to thicken a silicone and then put the colors in the way that we want to, because otherwise they won't go together well with using the two different silicones that we're using. So when we're putting the mold together, we'll put an eye insert through this right here. I don't know if you can see this. This is the mesh that runs in the head just like this. So the eye bolt will run right through a little slot that we have in the middle of this mesh. The nose will get pinched by the mold, and it holds it there steady. So we're able to pour the first two layers and we have to let those cure. And then when we pour this top layer, we'll then take another piece of mesh, and lay it down on top of the eye bolt just like that and pour that last mold. You know, the mesh, is it absolutely necessary to keep this thing from falling apart? Probably, it's going to give it a really long life. This silicone is super durable and will last a long time. But the thing that we found, I know Josh has experienced, I've experienced, is that it will kind of waller the hole out a little bit. So when you make that 6th, 7th cast after catching smallmouth, you'll watch this thing disappear into a treetop. So, and that's, if we're trying to sell these things for, you know, $15 a pop because of just how durable they are, we needed to make sure that these are going to be a bait that will last through 30, 40, 50 fish all day kind of thing, as long as you don't lose it on a log or in a treetop still attached to a hook.
Nice.
Yep.
So
Go ahead.
My bad.
No, I was just going to say that that whole process that Andrew talked about is like from start to finish, even without dry time, you're talking about 2.5 hours to pour a set. So it's like, it's a legit, like it takes a long time. We touch every one of them I don't know. Don't clip that off the podcast there. We touch everyone with their hands. But yeah, it's a very labor intensive process at this point. They are truly handmade.
Hmm. Well, and how many, like when you say it takes 2.5 hours for a set, how many baits is a set?
We have 22 molds right now.
So 22.
We can make 22 baits and then
so 11 packages.
Yeah. So obviously as we get more molds, we can make more. I mean, I think we'll probably have 60, 70 molds at some point, but that will take even longer to do all those just because it incrementally adds time. So
I think your next bait should be hand whittled personally. that each actually one might be more time effective, but I can't be sure. So maybe just 1,000 toothpicks carefully glued together. So
hey, Dustin's been waiting back there. I was going to bring him on when we talk about the packaging, but hey, Dust,
Dusty, come on here and describe your package, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see it. The outline. Package engineer.
Is your package?
He hasn't been deported yet.
I'm still here, boys.
Is your package blistered, or what kind of package do you have?
It's blistered on one side and thermal sealed on the top.
We'll talk about the packaging here in just a sec. Because I feel like that's like half of the stuff. I did see
Josh didn't even remotely get that one, I guess.
I just asked
if his package was blistered. And
probably is now. Dustin's he's a little sicky, bud. He's probably got blisters all over. Got a case of leprosy.
Your leopard.
Yeah. Well, between that and the gonorrhea, it's been a rough ride.
I wanted to answer JT's question. JT asked if what's the sink rate, and which JT, we're going to go over a lot of the details of the bait here in a sec, but it's very similar to a fluke. Now, what you'll see with the bait is we have another like little trick to this bait. It has a pre-molded cavity in the butt. It has a butthole basically. And it comes with a 364 ounce tungsten weight. So we do recommend using that tungsten weight because it gives the bait a lower center of gravity and it keeps it from rolling. The bait will roll a little bit, just like any, you know, bait that's shaped like that, but that helps it. With that weight, the sink rate is, I was telling people, about a foot every 2 seconds. So if that tells you anything. So half a foot or a foot every 2 seconds. So that's about like a fluke. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
I think that might be a little faster than a fluke, but yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it is more like a foot every 3 seconds. So it's very similar to a fluke. It may be a little bit faster, but I would call it a slow sinking bait. It's definitely not going to, you know, slam on the bottom, but it's going to stay down. And it probably does sink a little bit faster than flukes, specifically because I wanted to keep it down in current, because flukes get blown out in current a lot, and this won't do as bad with that. So,
That's with the weight in it. It sinks at a foot every 3 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And the weight doesn't make a huge difference, I feel like, with the sink rate. It's more to keep the bait vertical. So it keeps it vertical better with that weight in it. We also did, so we'll kind of
get bottom line is you can hang it there and just sort of dead stick it and it is
very similar to
the appearance of like buoyancy neutral.
Presence. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start going over this debate here real quick, cause I want everybody to kind of understand what exactly, and if any of you guys got to pop off, feel free, no big deal. So the bait is, I think I was thinking about names for this, poor Andrew, because we were talking about the names. What do you think about Tri-Glide?
Oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and the reason why we call it Tri-Glide is because specifically this bait is poured with three different layers of silicone. Okay. It has a bottom layer. So if you look at the bait, It has a bottom layer here. You can kind of see the line of it. This is a dirty one.
Get a pink lemonade if you got it close. It actually shows it a little better.
Yeah. There we go. So you can kind of see there in the middle of the chartreuse, there's a line. It's right at the fin there. But this bottom part is all a kind of a tougher, denser silicone. And then the middle layer is a really flexible, squishy silicone. And actually, a lot of people at the show, when they were feeling it, they were like, is the middle hollow? They were like, they thought it was hollow, but it's not. It's just a different type of silicone. And then we have the top of the bait is the same type of silicone as the very bottom. So we have to pour the bottom two layers first, let those cure, and then we pour the top layer. And the reason why we did that is the bottom layer is more dense than the middle layer. So it keeps it from floating up on its side. So it's kind of doing the same thing the weight's doing. It's trying to keep that bait up and down and not floating sideways. And then the top layer, we liked the spine. It kind of gives it like a spine and keeps this tail from drooping like all the way. And that acts as like a rudder for the bait. So when you're working it and it goes side to side, it has more of a gliding action. So hence tri glide. So we'll call this the tri glide. And so, yeah, that was like due to literally like just testing and testing and testing and testing, going to the sewage discharge on Southport Road and throwing it, going to behind Mrs. Curl's in Greenwood in the creek that has no fish in it and testing it, going to people's indoor swimming pools and testing it. So, but that's what we came up with. And I think this is the best version of the bait from a consistency standpoint. We are going to pour some that are all that squishy stuff, that flexible stuff. And that one we did test, it has a more erratic action. So it wants to jump and kind of go sideways and that sort of thing. But some people like that. So we'll have a couple different ones available. I don't know what we'll have at the show, but eventually we'll have an all flexible one. And then the tri-glide one. So yeah. And then kind of on top of that, we will have this one that has the mesh in it and everything we talked about that is meant to be nose hooked. And the nose hooking can be done two different ways. It can be done. That's kind of how you see me rig my flukes like that. Or it can be done basically horizontally. And Randy Long is the one that started rigging it like that and was like adamant that that was superior. So I think the recommended rigging that we're going to give is the horizontal rigging method. So, but yeah, when you guys come to see it at the show, we'll talk through all this with you. And then, yeah, Andrew, do you have any of the barbells eyes? Do you want to talk about that? Cause that was 100% your idea.
Yeah. So actually I just got done, you guys were talking about slave labor. I had my six-year-old working side by side with me. So
you guys have done it.
You finally got it.
You guys have done it. You've reached the pinnacle. It's all about profits over here. Get the kids involved.
Keeping eyes glued to silicone. Well, you can't glue eyes on silicone. You can try. They're going to stay on and you're going to catch one fish and it's going to be gone.
Right.
At the very onset of this whole process, I thought, well, man, if we just use a super clear silicone and maybe thicken it, I can paint over that eye. That was not panning out. So to try to figure it out, just doing a little bit of homework, we kind of came up with the fly fishing answer to our keeping our eyes on our mold. So we went with these plastic barbells. These are 8 millimeter wide eyes. And we've got that bar across the bait itself in the mold, and that allows for there to be a hole to punch this eye through. Now, this was one of the early original ones with a tiny little bar. So, but you pop that eye through, and that should be good. And I'm not going to say in perpetuity, but as long as this bait's going to last, our idea is that eye's going to last, and you're not going to have to go to that company and buy a brand new set of eyes for $8. Is that this kind of thing is going to last forever? So, or as long as the bait's going to last. We get the barbells from scratch. I take them, and I'm literally sanding each side like 2 seconds, because they have these little kind of flanges on them, and it keeps the eyes that we glue to them from gluing nice and tight. So I sand each side of it. Well, then we'll take the eyes, glue them, and then I'll coat them with a resin spray. So the process is a little long, but when you know, I've got 660 eyes here. You know, it's just a matter of getting one and sticking on, getting one and sticking on. We can have 660 eyes done in probably, 4 hours total. But then we're good for 660 baits once we get those done.
Yeah, and that's a testament to the, you know, I think if there's one thing that I want to communicate with this bait is that it is silicone. And some people will realize this and some people won't, but there are no silicone baits on the market. There is Mike Buca makes a nacho and burrito swim bait that is silicone, and there's recently a new company called Hatch Match that started making little silicone gobies. But like, by and large, if you go into a tackle shop, you will not find one single silicone bait. And silicone is super cool. It's a really neat, has a tons of neat properties, but the manufacturing around the fishing industry just wasn't built around a two-part mixture, because these, instead of heating up like you do with Plastisol, you actually have to combine a part A and a part B, and it has a cure time, and you have to get it in the molds before it cures. So it's, you know, kind of volatile that way. That's why we're having trouble. We got to go find a dildo manufacturer that understands the properties of silicone to actually manufacture it. I think we had one more question on here I wanted to answer about the bait. So, Kevin Hawkins asks, how much does it weigh? I believe with the weight in it, it's almost an ounce. So it's like just shy of an ounce. I think some of them are probably would be more like right at an ounce. Other ones a little bit under, depending on the verity and the silicone that we use, like might be a little off. But yeah, it's just about an ounce.
Do we have any from the show with the weight in them here?
I don't think so. I had one. Yeah, here's one with the weight in it. Oh, you're going to weigh it live?
Yeah, I was going to weigh it. I know the amount of silicone we're putting in is like pretty darn close to 0.9 ounces. So,
yeah. So you get 3/64 of an ounce plus the mesh and the hook. You know, the hook counts too. So, yeah, I would say it's really close to an ounce. Might as well call it an ounce. It's a big bait. It's definitely not like you're not going to throw it on a medium light rod. No way. I've been throwing it on a medium heavy bait caster, and I actually bought, while I was at that Tennessee show, Chris will like this, I got a 7'2" medium heavy X-Bride in a Vanford combo, baby. So we're going to be throwing this on some spinning gear. I'm pretty pumped about that. Shout out to Hamilton Bait and Tackle. They gave me a freaking killer deal on that combo. So they carry a Cheegan stuff. They were at that show with us. Now kind of moving on a little bit while Anders, I don't know what he's doing.
The bait by itself with no eyes and no weight is 0.84 ounces.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So I guess we call it 0.9 then with the weight. So
what, I guess I don't want to like throw a wrench into your plan on how you want to talk about this, but I guess one of the things like I was thinking about while you're talking about like the painstaking labor that goes into each one of these things is like, how uniform are you guys able to make them like color wise? I mean, do you guys feel pretty confident that like, if you say, hey, I'm going to buy, you know, Koi Boy or whatever, your pink lemonade or whatever, I mean, they all pretty much look the exact same as they come out or pretty close to it.
I'd say there's definitely going to be variation just because it's a hand poured bait. We'll have, as we get better, like I've wrote down like the color, you know, how much dye we put in each one and all that. But you know how that goes. Like, I think that's one of the beauties of buying a hand poured bait is not, none of them are exactly the same. So you might get a pack that you're just like, dude, this crushes, and you go and buy four more packs from us right at the same time. And then a year later you go to buy it and it's like a little bit different or whatever. So I would say each batch that we pour is exactly the same, but the next batch of that same color may be just a tiny bit different on it. So
I'd say that the big thing that'll change is when we get like more molds. You know, I think with the 22 molds and we pour a layer, we have a pretty good idea with the coloring and like just how many drops of each color in, you know, this, you know, 6.6 ounces or whatever of silicone for the whole batch. It'll be when we add like four extra molds and that one drop will be diluted slightly, you know, and how do we kind of make up that? We'll have to figure it out when we get our final number. I think we can really hone in when we say, hey, when we're doing a pour, we're going to be using 50 molds. And I think in this kind of intermediate process, at least this is my perception, is that there will be a little more variation until we get kind of our final mold count.
We definitely have to answer this question.
Find him.
Andrew, you want to read that and answer it?
Sent to these, not Josh's butt sent. No, just Josh's butt sent. That's all, the only one that we're adding.
No scent on these as of right now. That may change eventually, but yeah, no scent. I mean, I don't know that I feel super strongly about scented, you know, jerkbait type of stuff, but yeah,
but it's what we talked about with a couple guys at Tennessee with that belly pouch for the weights, or if you want to put a rattle in, they do make those little scent pellets that you could insert, like insert it.
No, show
like that.
Go faster with that one. Yes. Okay.
I'm done.
Yeah, you could do it. You could definitely scent it yourself. We do have a scent. A marinade, you could say, in the works.
Is it carne asada? Or
yeah, exactly. The last thing I'll say about the bait itself, fishing wise, I spent a lot of time. You know, I've definitely spent more time than anybody else. Maybe Randy, I don't know. Randy may have more time in the water with this bait than I do. He caught four muskie in an afternoon on one. So, you know, that there's that. But I would say that this bait it definitely fishes a little technical. Like you can't just go out there and just rip it and it's going to do what you want it to do. Like there's a cadence to it. Having the right setup and that sort of thing. It's definitely not something you're just going to like a crankbait. You're going to go out there and just start cranking it in. Like I would akin it more to like a spook or something. You know, it takes a while to teach someone how to walk the dog with the spook. Like it's not this thing that you just do right away. And I would say it's similar to that. And you can fish it differently. Like I like a slower cadence. I like to jerk and let it kind of glide and then stop and let it sink and then jerk and let it glide and stop and sink. Andrew, I can see your grin there. Saying the word
jerk. Way you spend time with yourself.
There's been a lot of very stuff said and just sort of not acknowledged, but
yeah.
I guess before we like get into like how you would rig it and how what kind of line you would use and what, because it comes with a VMC. Is it a 2-aught hook? Is that what you guys are going to sell in every package?
4-aught,
you get 2 4-aught VMC hooks, which are high quality hooks, and a tungsten spike weight. Is that what you're?
You get 2 tungsten weights, one for each bait.
Who makes the weights?
An unknown Chinese manufacturer. We imported them. Nice. Yeah, I mean that's where all tungsten comes from.
It's just a weight, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a tungsten it's a 3/64 ounce.
Why don't you weight. show the packaging and talk us through what that looks like and what because you guys make your own packaging and I think that's MacGyver's lane.
I'm going to interrupt here real quick before you show this packaging. We had some guy come up to the fishing stand the last day, and he was talking about the baits, and he said, "What about the packaging?" So we showed him the packaging, and he just looked up at me, deadpan, straight face, and said, "You all hit the fish whistle, don't you?"
No, and Andrew's like, "No comment." That's what you want.
Wait, did you guys do drugs? Don't every small business owner hopes that when they put out a product that their clientele will be like, "You guys are on one."
I heard Andrew tell the story, but I want to let Dustin kind of talk about the packaging, because Dustin's the one that basically, you know, came up with everything, and it's his baby. But Andrew told the story of the meeting that we had the night that we kind of came up with that. And I think that was a good story. And so, Dustin, why don't you talk about just the idea for the packaging, what we're doing with it, and what, you know, what.
Yeah,
what,
man.
Hey, guys, yeah. This was a blast. I've got a little boy that is time. It's time for his for bed. So I got to bail.
See you, dude.
See you, buddy.
I want to stay on for this, but you guys have a good time. Thanks for having me.
Later.
Yeah, man.
Get back
really,
to work.
Really, really cool thing. Obviously, you know, the designing the lure went super cool. And really, I think it's worth mentioning, too, that I don't know that it was really the intention to manufacture in-house. We kind of started, you know, messing around with different molds and, you know, looking at manufacturers. And that's when the plan kind of redirected to the point where we're like, well, we might need to do this in-house because there aren't really many lure manufacturers that are willing or able to do this. So I think a couple of things kind of fell into place by happenstance that ended up being kind of a cool thing. Like, these are all hand poured, which wasn't, you know, the original motive. yeah, we had, did you say you guys had already talked about the inspiration for the
packaging? No, we did. We didn't. We talked, I heard Andrew tell the story at the show, and I thought it was a good story. So
yeah, super cool. So yeah, I mean, we've gone back and forth as far as like the name and the packaging and, the concept. And, I mean, essentially, you know, there's a billion bait companies out there. So we wanted to, you know, come up with a lure that, one, is, you know, a little bit different, obviously catches fish, but has some cool branding to kind of go along with it. And I think we had a meeting set at the office, and Josh is like, "Hey, I got to run to the store really quickly. I'll be back in 10. So he comes back with you know, grocery sack full of snacks. We're like, "Man, what the heck, you know, what are we doing here?" And he's like, "Dude, I think this is gonna work. I think this is a good idea. You know, I'm gonna be really upset if you guys are not on board with this. I'm gonna be really sad." So
I'm pretty sure I said that exact same thing. It was idea by threat.
Yeah. You guys better like this or I'm gonna be mad. But give me your feedback.
But yeah, he pitched it to us. He pulled a bunch of snacks out of a grocery sack. They're like, "Hey, you know, these are essentially going to be smallmouth snacks. You know, what if this line is the smallest snacks, and what if we brand everything in a snack, you know, fashion?" So I think one of the first ones that came to mind or was mentioned was a Doritos snack, you know, chip bag, which this was part of the inspiration for the beginning of the
Did you find that in your attic?
I swear, dude.
And that is an old school Doritos bag.
I found this and I was like, "Guys, I'm not like superstitious, not super religious,
you're a little stitious."
A little stitious, especially after this. I was like, "Boys, this is a little bit weird."
I'm guessing, and I don't know for sure, but your company may have been pushed in a completely different direction because Josh came off of a fast on the day of that. Exactly. End of my 3-day fast. Oh, look at all this food.
I definitely eventually ate that entire bag of snacks at the office. We just put it up and I would just grab the Funyuns, grab the Lay's one day, just, you know, yeah. So
nice.
Yeah, it came together, so we kind of ran with it, and I put together a couple of variations. Basically, all that really cool, like ingenuitive, like scientific design work, testing, and everything that went into the lure. You know, Josh and Andrew were like, "Hey, if you're cool with that, we're going to handle this, and if you don't mind, maybe you can make a bag to put these in." and plastic inserts.
Sexy stuff.
Only yeah,
sexy stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, do
you did. Hey, you took it, man. You made it. Dude. You made it cool.
Mexican we rolled with MacGyver. It. Yeah.
What's that?
Your Mexican MacGyver song where you did Mexican MacGyver.
I gotta say though, you took a kind of a turd project and turned it into a pretty cool outcome. So
yeah, you know, I didn't mind it. It was fun. All this stuff's really fun. It's all, you know, certain element of creativity, and it's extra cool whenever people actually like it. I think we've had a couple of things that were like huge hits, but overall, in general, I think most people, you know, enjoy what we throw out there, which is pretty fulfilling. But yeah, we had a couple variations of the packaging, and nice. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I like the QR code. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I did make it onto the Josh, have you shown the latest packaging anywhere out there and
yeah, I was the world? Say, we're giving away the one, but you show yours, man, so you can talk about it.
Yeah, it's got a couple of cool Easter eggs on it. I'm trying to make it fun, kind of creative, but again, it's essentially, you know, mocked after a Doritos bag, like a 90s retro Dorito bag, which is kind of cool. And then of course, you know, you got the juice of the project there in the back window, some nutrition facts on the back.
We can't read those. What can you bring those little
yeah posters? It's probably kind of hard to see.
It says at the top, it says warning, not for human consumption. Fish with caution attracts aggressive subsurface hogs.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Very
good. Munchie facts, 2 servings per container, serving size 1 swim bait, calories lots. And then he has percent of your nutritional daily value, silicone 100%. So if you eat one of these, you get 100% silicone. Mesh nose insert for increased nose hook durability, BMC 4 hooks, tungsten and nail weights, vitamin donk 100%. And then he put largemouth repellent impregnated.
That's cool.
But yeah, something we didn't really talk about.
I like the see-through window on there too. That's sharp.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
On the front, it says this, it says some cool stuff, but one of the things we didn't talk about, $1 of each purchase is going to go towards smallmouth conservation. So basically we're committing every time someone buys a package of these, $1 of that, sale goes towards smallmouth conservation. And we haven't worked out the details as far as like who we're going to donate it to, but I think it's going to be kind of an annual thing where we pick a beneficiary every year of that money and we donate it to them. So that's something, you know, Andrew, I would say is our, you know, chief conservation officer. You know, he's the guy that drives a lot of that stuff. And that's something that we wanted to do to kind of give back. So, so we're pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, I think
what is the MSRP? You said I think Andrew mentioned it.
Yeah, so $30 for a package. You get 2 baits for $30. And well, like
what,
I said,
how many fish can you expect, like reasonably expect, absent, you know, exigent circumstances? But
yeah, I mean, I didn't ever deteriorate a bait enough to where I couldn't catch fish on it. And the most I tallied on one bait was 27, and I just kept breaking them off. Like I would just, honestly, that's the only way I lost them is I got snagged on rocks, and I used them a lot in the Susquehanna. That's where I was catching. That's where I was doing a lot of my tallying. And so 50 cents
a fish, round bouts.
Yeah. And I would say like durability wise, you know, you can catch 40, 50 fish easy on one bait. It wouldn't even be, it wouldn't even be that. That's, there's no doubt. Catch
four musky on one. I think that that equates to a lot of bass.
Randy Long says the durability might have been the most impressive part, and that's saying a lot for Randy to comment about that. The demon. So, yeah, old demon, baby.
Positivity from Randall.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were, you know, I feel like $30 is like, it's where not.
Where is that? That picture of Randy, is that Crater Lake?
I don't know. He's got a quest for 23. I think it is. I think he went out there for a business trip.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, the very durable, you know, it's obviously not comparable to a Magdraft, different type of bait. But, you know, Magdrafts with hooks, you know, the pre-rigged ones are $17 a piece. And you get like six, seven fish out of that.
Seven fish.
So I feel like the market says that they will pay for this. Obviously, these are handmade, and you know,
I think it's just hard,
much more durable.
I think that what I think the challenge is going to be, and I hope that people will just try it maybe once, you know, at least once, just to give it a whirl. But the challenge will be, it's a lot of money for a bait that looks like a fluke, and they probably will have the prejudice in their mind of like, man, a fluke is like such a fragile bait. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something that will break, you know, you basically, it can get ripped through so easily, you know, you lose them and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think that's why when we were talking, that was the biggest prejudice in my mind coming into it fresh, because I haven't been involved really in any of this.
Yeah.
So like coming into it, I'm thinking $30 for two flukes. But if you're catching, you know, 35, 40 fish per bait, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and you really can't compare it to a fluke. You compare it to a, I mean, in style, I guess it's like a fluke, but like, look at the difference. This is a fluke, and this is our bait. I mean, it's not even remotely. I mean, this is dwarfs. This is like three flukes in one. So it's a much, much bigger bait. I would say, you know, the idea for it was like.
I mean, I get that. I'm just saying that's what, you know, people just need to understand that this is a $30 gets you two VMC hooks, two spike weights, and two baits that you will probably catch 35 to 40 fish minimum on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, value wise, I think it's there. I mean, if you go in the bait shop and you are worried about spending $30 on a couple baits you'll catch 50 fish on, like bass fishing is probably not for you, but I have, you know, It is what it is. I mean, a silicone bait, there's not a lot of examples to compare him to, but the ones that are, like that Hatchmatch guy sells his one for $18. So, and they're way smaller than these. So, but yeah, and people don't have as badass of packaging as we do too. So, but yeah. So anyways, I wanted to, we're coming up on an hour, and I want to wrap this up before we do the giveaway, which you have to be on. We're going to already do the giveaway. It's going to come from the comments. So if you're on, I can see YouTube and Facebook comments. So I'm going to ask a trivia question, and whoever pops up first on with the correct answer is going to win the number 1 of 100 authenticated Munchie package. I'm going to mail these out to you. So, so pay attention here. But before we do that, do you guys have any comments, you know, questions? Chris, you've, okay, we got a question in here. I'm going to answer that, but anything else from you guys?
You said, Chris, you've what?
Chris has been asked a lot of questions, so I thought you might have more questions. No,
I'm just trying to facilitate a conversation that doesn't sound like a commercial for your product.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, so launch schedule, we're going to be launching these baits at the Columbus Fishing Expo February 7th through 9th. I tell you what, stay tuned, because I'm not sure if we're going to launch all of them on Friday, or maybe half on Friday, half on Saturday, give some people some chances to get them. We do. This is a line of baits called Smalley Snacks. This is our first Smalley Snacks bait. So we did have a question on here. Will smaller sizes be available eventually? Yes, we are working on right now getting a prototype of a 7-inch version of this. So a little bit bigger. It's going to be a line through. So I'm actually really excited about this. But the line through, the idea of it is we're going to have a frog hook on the back, and the shank of it's going to like go up into the bait. And we've already proved out the concept, and it's going to be sick. So yes. And then we have a little small, tiny little one for like finesse fishing. We're working on that as well. So yes, there will be smaller sizes eventually. And then Dahl says, how many colors are you guys going to have at the show? I think that's to be determined. I think we're going to have at least 7 or 8 colors for sure. And then depending on how much time we have to pour more. I think Dustin said, Dustin, how much material did you say we had for the inserts? Did you say 120?
At this point, between 115, 120, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we split that up, I would say, let's say 10 colors. I think we'll have 10 colors at the show. Some of them just might be more well stocked than other ones. And what are the colors? I'm not going to go through all of them, but we'll have a variation of this blood sport. We will have this IU color. We will have
IU. This,
it's like a bait fish. You'd have to see it, but I call this like clear shad, blue shad. It's just like a translucent with a little bit of blue in it. Gizzard, you guys have seen this. That's what the giveaway package is. Let's see here. We'll have pearl white.
Classic. See, I would have guessed that blood sport would be called gizzard, just based on my own.
Yes, some bloody semen there.
Is that normal?
Okay. Yeah, very normal.
Perfect.
We'll have that. We'll have this pink. Well, I think we're going to call this pink drink instead of pink lemonade, because everybody's doing the pink lemonade thing. So we'll have pink drink. I think we're going to end up doing this one, because I like that for muddy water. It's like a black with a chartreuse back. And then from there, I do. There is one color that I'm going to do that I'm pretty. I was thinking about how I'm going to do it last night. I'm going to do a creek chub color for the river guys. So
nice.
So we'll have a creek chub color. So, so yeah. Colin said, "Show the trout." I don't have the trout with me. We did. We do have I call it watermelon trout, rainbow trout color. That we will do. I don't know if we'll have that at the show. I'm not sure. But yeah, colors are, I would say that's the most fun about this whole project, dude. It's like craft time. You like go and you pour baits, and you're like, ooh, this looks cool. And you can just make something. I also bought a big Magdraft style swim bait mold the other day, and I've been pouring silicone Magdrafts. But those things are sick, dude. They are sick. But yeah, all right. Here for the giveaway. All right, giveaway. First person to comment the answer wins this bait. And it's whoever comes through on the thing. Okay.
All right, you want me to monitor the chat here as a second eye?
Yes. All right. Yes, so.
I'll validate it.
Here's the question. So we all know.
Are you on YouTube? Just so.
Yeah, okay. YouTube or Facebook. Okay, well, they show up. They congregate. If you go to the
comments.
Yeah,
they all show up. Comments.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
All right, so we had to explain this 1,000 times at the show. People would ask, like, they'd be like, What does that Achigan mean? What's that mean? And we said, you know, we were like, well, that's the Algonquin word for smallmouth. And people were like, oh, cool. And then we said, it translates to, this is the question, what does Achigan translate to in Ojibwe, which is the, oh, Ryan Dahl got it, bud.
Technically, Ryan
he spelled witch wrong.
Did not get it right. Oh, Isaiah.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Oh, look at that, dude.
I actually have Merlin Hammer at 931 being the first one that spelled it right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not gonna make this call, dude. I can't do that to my boy Dahl.
I can do it to him. What's he gonna do?
I think you gotta give it to Dahl, and I think you gotta give it to Merlin. I think you gotta give 1-2 to Merlin and Ryan.
Yeah. Well,
that's fair.
Well, it's not about who gets one, it's who gets the one.
It's number one.
Yeah, I know. How about this? Let's play rock, paper. Well, I think you should send them. You can send them both a package. Okay. I'll do rock, paper, scissors with Jeff. If I win, Ryan gets it. If Jeff wins.
Okay. I like that. Okay, I like ready? That.
All right. Look how big my hand is, by the way.
What's the point? It makes your head look.
One. All right, 1-2. We're doing 1-2-3. Shoot. We're just doing one. We're not doing best of three. Ready? 1-2-3. Shoot.
Oh, Daly got it.
Rochambeau all day, son.
All right. There you go. Pretty sick.
I would have went deal. Rock, dude. I don't know what that says about me. I would have went rock.
Because you're all rocked up.
All right. Good deal. So, who does that mean wins it? Marlon?
Yeah, Merlin got number one.
Well, if it makes Dahl feel any better, Dahl got one of the prototypes. So, yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Dahl got a zero. He got a zero.
Yeah.
That's better than number one. So,
yeah. We'll see. Merlin, are you going to be at the show?
I think if we don't get a Burt Reynolds style photo with Merlin posing completely nude with just the package in front of his junk as a taunt for Dahl, then that is a fail, I have to say. So,
well, right.
Good deal, man. Thanks, guys. For
either way, yeah, I think that's all we got. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, I appreciate it, Chris. Get back to your kids. Tell Ashley, hope she starts feeling better. So.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how she does this all day long.
Dusty's sick, dude. Dusty's sick on the stream, bud. Look at that guy. Dude. He's about dead.
Feeling rough, man. We're here.
Are you sleeping down there in the basement to quarantine yourself or what?
I probably should. Everybody but my daughter's got it so far. So knock on wood. Hopefully she doesn't get it, but
brutal.
Everybody at my house is sick too. Katie has COVID. Hattie has flu A. So you know. We're pretty bad over here too. So,
but Bantine says good luck with the syphilis.
So. I only got hep C, so I'm solid.
Hey, I wanted to answer Collins. Colin asked when they'll be available to order. I would anticipate sometime like mid March we'll have some on the website. So, nice. And we'll do drops. So, but anyways, appreciate you guys. Till next time, free the fighter, baby.
See you guys,
fighter.
No.